Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Oh boy, you guys. Or should I say OMG? We have a very, very exciting show for you today. Well, it's not just exciting for all those listening. It's pretty exciting for one of the hosts.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so our guest star today is Andrew Hsu, you guys. I'm dying.
She's so excited. Tori is so excited because you know, this is our third and final, well, supposed final Melrose Place recap show. We're talking about the third episode. And we've heard in the first episode, you straight out of the gate were like, I love Andrew Hsu. I have a crush on him. I had a crush on Billy. I have a crush on Andrew. It's happening.
I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm having like flashback, like Brian Austin Green vibes right now. Like, I'm getting
Brian
all
Austin
like
Green,
my
who?
Yeah, that's right. I don't bag. That's been bagged and done.
And you
Bye.
Guys, you know okay. how excited Amy Sugarman is to be with us again today to talk
I'm
about
like
Melrose
a
Place.
A little bit sad. I'm laughing with you guys. Like, I'm sad.
Well, can we go back to Andrew Hsu for just one second?
Because,
okay, so we have this private 9021 OMG chat that we have. And Amy just like, she didn't like prep us or call us and be like, hey, you guys, you know, we could get this or we're reaching out to Andrew Hsu. She was just like, oh, by the way, our guest star this episode, she put a picture of him. And I was like, I dropped my phone, you guys. I got so nervous. And yeah, so even right now I'm having flash. I'm really nervous to talk to him because I feel, okay, you know that feeling I got filming with Brian again on BH90210 and I felt like I was 16 and you had to talk me through it and you were like, you're going to be okay. You're a grown woman. You have five kids. You're good.
Yeah. Is that how I need to have that talk with you right now?
Yeah, because I feel here's what's going through my head. Oh, my gosh. Jen has to do all the talking. Amy will ask great questions. I need to just shut up because I feel like I'm not going to be smart enough and I'm not going to say the right things. And it's taking me back to meeting him at that party, the premiere party that we were at, where I was like, my dad was like, oh, you know, Andrew Hsu is cast and maybe he would be good. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to get fixed up with Andrew Hsu? And I met him and I was so nervous and nothing. I felt like he was like, we talked, he was super nice, but he was probably like, nah.
Is that the only time you ever met him?
No. I mean, we would do Fox events over the years, but I don't think we, you know what? We never had like a
meaningful moment after then.
Yeah. I'm scared. My dad was like, oh, hey, babe, my daughter would be great for you. She's single. She's blonde. She has a big crush on you. Big. And I probably didn't even know him, but he probably said that.
I think that might be the first time I've ever heard you imitate your dad. You're really good at his voice, by the way. That which makes sense because
that was the first time I've ever done it.
That's weird. Really good.
Really,
it did. Good. Thank God, I took a chance and it came out.
I just totally had a vision of you dressed as him and us doing some sort of like weird parody about, I don't know, but you're gonna play your father. I feel it.
You just gave me chills because she is a little intuitive with stuff. So
we got to do something.
We'll brainstorm.
Okay.
Anyway.
So really fast.
Yes.
I will say this, and I don't want to make you more nervous, but Andrew Hsu is aging like fine, fine wine, which I think
you say that about all men, Amy. You say that about every friggin' man.
Grant Show. Iron.
Yeah.
I went down the rabbit hole that is... I just said rabbit hoe. I'm thinking of myself right now. I went down the rabbit hole that is Andrew Hsu after you sent that picture. And I was like, I mean, we have been, you know, we have worked with his wife. We've been, oh my God, I'm so flustered. Oh, yeah, I don't know. And she's so nice. She interviewed us and she's great. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect, but her husband is wow.
Did you admit to his wife, your crush?
She didn't.
No? Are she you didn't bring kidding it up. Me?
I didn't even know that was her husband when we were interviewing with her, which makes sense for me. But wait a minute. You went down a rabbit hole. You went down a rabbit hole. Where? You mean on Instagram? Now I just said Instagram. I don't know why.
Oh, no. You know what? I did Google because in my mind, Andrew Hsu doesn't do social media.
I don't think he does.
Like, no.
Yeah.
I didn't even check Instagram, which is always my go-to.
I looked for his like whatever page
and remember he's like a billionaire. I don't want to overstate it because I'm sure the internet's wrong, but it was like basically like he's a billionaire.
What they said his net worth, yeah, they also say mine, and that's whoa, wait. So
that's good to know.
Yeah,
so sometimes that stuff's wrong.
That stuff's always wrong.
Always wrong.
The internet's wrong. I understand.
We could look up your net worth right now and you'd be like, what?
Look up Amy Sugarman's net worth. The only thing it ever got right that I'm privy to is they mentioned the $500 million estate that my dad left that I did not inherit. So.
Whoa.
That was right. Fair, Jen?
Yeah.
I wonder if Andrew Hsu is going to buy it with his billions. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oprah. I always Google Oprah's net worth because I just want to.
Can we ask him if, well, let's see how this goes. If I don't screw this up, maybe he would be interested in financing. Jen and I want to do a remake of Death Becomes Her. That's been our dream forever. Maybe he'd like to finance it.
He might.
Well, why don't we start with, let's ask him what his net worth is first.
Are you a billionaire?
Butter him up.
We should ask him about his book. Because you have me as that
kid's
book.
Yeah, we got to talk all of the things. Andrew Hsu, I can't wait.
I mean, like 52 Melrose Place questions for him. Because did you guys notice he can't type?
Do you guys want to talk about the episode before Andrew comes? Should we just get into it? Because
we should clearly a little bit.
Okay, we're going to talk, you guys, about episode 3, Lost and Found, aired July 22nd, 1992.
Synopsis: Jane faces near disaster when she goes out on the town. Jake prepares to break up with Kelly, and Billy finishes his first script.
Directed by Charles Braverman, written by Frederick Rappaport and Darren Star. Yeah. Okay, so this episode starts on, I didn't know what was happening. That's what it started on. I was like, A, who the heck is that? And B, what show am I watching?
I had the same thing. I was like, what's going on with your hair?
Wait, can you confirm? It was Allison, right?
No, that wasn't Allison.
I kept trying to go like this, but it was you can't go like that.
No, it was just some other blonde. Some other blonde. Could have been you, could have been me. It was not Allison, though.
He was so creepy and murdery, and that was his like bad novel or something.
Yeah, he was like the gangster.
You thought
Mafia.
He was creepy. His hair slicked back.
He looked good.
Fine.
He was so. I thought I was watching like a vodka commercial or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
My God! Like, yeah, absolute model. Oh God, he's
cool. And then don't say what. WTF?
Yeah.
What
right. Literally, who the heck is that? That's what my notes say.
Who the heck is that? Oh,
but then, and then Wait. He comes back from the dream and he's typing like this.
Yeah, hunt and peck. I think they used to call that hunt and peck.
Yeah, but hunt and peck.
He went to Dartmouth.
Did they teach typing at Dartmouth, Amy?
He's a genius.
Didn't you take typing in high school?
Oh, yeah, computer.
Yeah.
Can you guys type?
Like, oh, yeah. No.
Do you use your home row?
I hunt and peck.
A-S-D-F-G, uh-huh. And then period, semicolon, L-K.
You remember. Exactly. How do you remember that?
Because I'm looking at it. And then you like go up and down from those, but you always stay on your home row, people. Right.
So like if you were typing, Jenny, can you like look at me while you're typing?
Totes, yeah.
Me too. Tori, can you? Boop, boop. You can't, Tori?
F, no. No, I'm a hunt and pecker. I do one at a time. Never
That's
gonna change.
What Billy was doing, and
I know
if Andrew Shue couldn't type,
it was super distracting. Why would they tell him to do that?
Well, I gotta be honest. Like, at first, when you saw him at the computer and his hands were like under the computer, under the desk, I was like, "What is happening right now? What is happening?"
Did they have porn back then?
This was, I don't know. I thought he was really getting excited about his
I also wrote sweet fantasy. Computer because it was like 92.
That's
that was
what
like an Apple IIe, you guys. Remember mm-hmm. those? It was like humongous and it had like floppy disks.
Wait, I'm going to go back to the girl that I thought was Courtney Thorne-Smith, Allison. So I did do a double take, but the hair was different. It was a little off, but this is like an Amy thing. I feel like they cast her because it was foreshadowing that that's his type.
I think so.
I mean, if you think about it, his current wife, Andrew Shue's current wife, fits the mold.
Totally. Amy Robach. Mm-hmm. She really does. And she's mm-hmm. beautiful, but she is
blonde, like, beautiful. Yep. Like Allison. Like the girl
well,
in the red dress.
He dated Allison in real life.
What?
Yes, we have to ask him.
No, we're not asking him about that.
It was huge. It was all we have.
Wait, they were a couple? Wait,
yeah, we can ask.
Huge, him. Huge. Like yeah, off camera, they fell in love
during being the during filming.
They met there, started filming.
Wait, did Billy you just ruin it for me because Billy and Allison are become a couple, a real couple?
God,
oh Jenny, my God, come
obviously.
On.
Obviously,
well, I haven't seen it.
Nothing's ever been so obvious.
I don't want to, you know, speculate or assume.
I'm Googling this right now.
Oh, how long were they together
I
for?
I thought Allison looked, Courtney Thorne-Smith looked particularly pretty in this episode.
You're right. Like, she did.
She looked really cool.
I mean, not her clothes, yeah, but.
I have such a problem with her clothes that I can't even get past that. Like,
really...
I can't invest in the character. I'm sorry.
The mom jeans with the giant blazers.
Yeah.
How long did they date for?
It doesn't say that yet. But there's. It's very confusing because there's pictures of them from Melrose Place, but then there's definitely pictures of them like where you're like, are you dating?
What do you mean are? It was fact, right?
Yes.
Like I didn't just, okay. I feel like we're very like Howard Sternish today. What's your net worth? Did you date him? What? Her?
We talked about a little, you know, I'm not going to
so
say
wait,
it.
Before, I know because okay. Andrew, she's going to be on for a second. So I have okay. a few little questions.
Okay.
Yep.
Put yourselves in Allison's position. So we're skipping ahead, but she okay. reads his crappy novel.
Put myself in her position. No, I would not make tuna casserole.
No, I wouldn't wear that outfit.
Oh. And done.
But I want to ask you about the tuna casserole, yep. but would you tell Billy the truth? Have you ever been in that position in real life where someone handed you some script? Because you guys are like big famous actresses like and producers. What would you do? Would you tell the truth or would you lie?
I don't think I would tell him it was trash. Like I she was pretty harsh, like straight. She didn't even like offer up some positive things to
I
say
hate
about
it,
it.
She said,
like, first you kind of like, you got to roll into the, I hate it. You got to be like, well, it was really structured really well. And I really felt there was a beginning and an ending. I saw it super clearly. Love the character of da, da, da. But you know, I don't know.
You've been trained so well. Okay. So this comes from years and years from Jen and I producing stuff and being in writer's rooms. And we used to not know. So we would just be like honest, you know,
like, what is this? Oh, sorry.
Not like Allison. We'd be like, we don't like this and this, you know, what if this? And then we were schooled that in a writer's room, you have to like you go into it easy and you say the things you did like, and then you get to the things you didn't like.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem like a giant waste of time?
It is. So, oh my God.
It's so Hollywood. Totally.
I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. Tori was the one that always has to do it because I'm like, ugh, just tell them the truth.
Right.
But it's I don't think I could have done it if I was Allison, if that was my roommate giving me a script.
Yeah. No.
I probably would have been a little softer.
I wouldn't have said hate. I just would have been like, I didn't connect, or I didn't feel I didn't feel. Then it's just like your perception.
Did you guys ever do a photo shoot where they then tell you like, we're just going to get a couple safeties, which really means like we didn't nail it yet. So we're getting a couple safeties. We used to have to say that all the time. Like, let's just get a couple safety takes, which means
definitely.
The first three were pretty shitty, but.
Why didn't you just say we just need to get. No,
I guess not.
You guys, how about when Billy and Allison get in the fight and he goes, you have no taste, just like your lousy casserole.
Favorite line.
Ew, tuna casserole? Do people still eat tuna casserole?
I think so. Like grandma's. I don't do tuna.
I'm all for bringing it back and modernizing like old fashioned recipes, but tuna casserole, I don't think it's ever coming back. And in the 90s, it was not back. Like, you know, a writer must have thought that was funny, but it's his favorite. It's not even something she makes.
Well, she wears her grandma's clothes and she bakes her grandma's casseroles. There you go.
I'm Allison. Over Allison.
She needs an update already, and it's only episode 3. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, sidebar off topic, but how classic was it when, so after that first scene and Allison, I think, walks out and the Mancinis are by the pool.
Wait, that's not how you clean a pool. I've cleaned pools before. Never been like that.
I got no idea.
So insane.
But Michael there's a pool Mancini. Cleaner that's there. Remember, Jen, you were like, he why is he there time. Every scene? Yeah.
Well, apparently he didn't show up because he's like caressing the metal stick thing. It was so weird.
Gross.
In front of everyone, like for all to see.
And she's in a bikini and he has his giant pager, his giant doctor pager.
By the way, that's what they look like. So
I do love this about Melrose Place. The references to LA things like Pink's hot dogs, Laurel Canyon. They're always like referencing actual. And then they were going to watch the video of Ghost, which isn't LA, but still is a good reference.
She has the same hairdo.
She totally. Does. She has the Demi Moore.
The video of Ghost. Oh, you guys, I'm dead.
Stop
I'm
dead. It. I'm Stop
dead.
It.
I'm dead. He's here. He's
Wait, you guys.
You guys, hold on, hold you guys on. Need to pull it together. Amy, you're blushing.
I might have to turn my camera off.
You can't see me, right?
You Amy, are blushing. You Tori's off, touching
you're
up her
dead
makeup.
To me. We are no longer friends.
I don't know what's happening right now. I've lost them, people.
Jennifer Eve, don't say anything to embarrass me. Okay, let's go, you guys. I'm ready.
I'm
pumped.
I'm just going to be silent.
I'm not going to do anything bad.
I actually, I don't even have a crush on him, but it's just so like, I'm living my childhood fantasies. I think I've met him before too. And I feel a little nauseous.
Oh my God. Your cheeks are, she's blushing.
Please bring Andrew in. I can't take it anymore.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys.
Hi Andrew.
How are you?
We got so excited.
Amy is usually not this shade of red, just so you know. She's excited.
I thought I was totally going to be normal and then I just got weird right before. And like I got clammy.
Way to make a guest feel comfortable.
We've been watching your show and we're big fans.
We have. Wait, you didn't hear anything before this, right?
Oh, he heard it. I can tell. He's lying right now. He heard it.
No, I didn't. I just saw Miss Sugarman smiling there.
Wait, so you guys have all met, right? I want to hear like just you all talk about when you met back in the day and what that was like.
Well, first of all, let's introduce you, Andrew. This is Amy Sugarman, our producer.
Hi, Amy.
It's so good to see you.
I think they know each other. He said Sugarman.
It's on the screen too, but we have met back in the day.
Oh my God. You said it like you guys are like old friends.
Listen, Sugarman.
Hey, Sugarman.
I'm Ryan Seacrest, producer also. And Ryan Seacrest was on an episode of Melrose Place. I can't even talk.
He was?
Really? Wait, 90210
and
he was
Melrose?
In the finale. Were you in the finale still?
Not the finale, no.
So Ryan was a guest at the wedding or a funeral. It was something, one of those.
I just saw Ryan this past weekend at the Georgia game.
Down in Georgia.
Yeah, it was awful.
Did Georgia lose?
Yeah. He was sitting right behind us and we were high-fiving. They were up 10-0 and then they got crushed.
I can't wait to talk to him about it because he would be excited to see you too because I've been his producer for 25 years. So we loved 90210 and Melrose Place. Like this was our time.
That was your time.
That was our time. Okay, you guys talk. I'm just going to be quiet.
We know you from like, you know, Fox things. We were all in the same, kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, we went to a bunch of events and then we went to, I think I ran into you over in Europe too. You were doing a whole tour over there. I remember we went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's right. Was it Israel?
Shucks.
It was Europe or Israel.
I don't know how old we're getting.
She never told me about that.
Remember. It's a blur.
Look, they're mad at me now. I didn't tell them. And we were on 90210 and you were on Melrose Place. So it's like kind of like, you know, we're brothers and sisters.
True.
Cousins. Cousins.
We're all part of the Spelling family to bring Tori into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. I have to say, and I've never said this publicly, not I guess this is public, but your dad Tori. He had a huge, huge impact on my life, obviously, because he was really the one who kind of plucked me out of nowhere and stuck me into that show.
How did that happen? Like, what do you mean he plucked you out of nowhere? Where were you and how did it happen?
So I had just started auditioning for things and I had gotten a small part in the Wonder Years. I had three lines and I had moved out to LA. I had spent a year in New York where I auditioned about 122 times. I had a little black book and I got zero callbacks after 122 auditions.
Wow.
And then I came out to LA and I was only there for about 3 months and I got a pilot, which was a spelling pilot. And it was really because Aaron had produced Soap Dish, which was the movie my sister was in, where he was kind of familiar with, oh, Elizabeth Shue, oh, she's great. And then, oh, this is her brother. And so I think he got intrigued. And so there was a pilot called Gulf City, which had these two, it was kind of a Starsky and Hutch type deal. And we did a 5-day shoot down in Florida, and which was a miracle when I got that part. It was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on a TV show. And of course, we know how many pilots don't get picked up. And it turned out that they had hired somebody else for Billy on Melrose Place and they didn't love him after the first day.
It's all coming back.
So he was let go after the first day because the way he was playing the relationship with Allison was not the right way. And there was a bunch of other things. I think they just decided. And so Aaron calls me at my $285 a month apartment. Right off of Hollywood Boulevard where somebody was murdered outside and says, hey, babe, I need you to come over to my house tomorrow for kind of an emergency audition. You're not really auditioning. You're just going to be reading with people. I just need you to do this favor. So he basically downplayed the whole thing. Like, this is not a big deal. And there were 30 people there. I drove in with my little 82 Mazda and parked in the parking lot. It was valeted. And then after 3 hours of going into that office, the wall to wall bound leather copies of every show he'd ever produced, and Peter Chernin's in there, and every person from Box is in there, and we're all reading with Courtney, and 30 people read with Courtney, and
30 people
read, and about 10 people read a second time, and two of us were about to read a third time I heard Aaron talking to Peter Chernin, and then seeing that last guy walk out the door. And then Aaron comes over to me and he says, you got the part, babe. And
Oh my God.
I get goosebumps. I love it.
I was like, what? What do you mean? I wanted to do Gulf City. That's such a cool show. And he said Gulf City got canceled 2 days ago.
Look at that. And then
he didn't tell me. I came over there. I basically just flirted my butt off with Courtney. And and then I was shooting on Monday. This was a Saturday.
That's what it takes, Saturday. Huh?
Did you know who Courtney was? Because she had done summer school, right?
I didn't really know much about anything. No, I did not know. No, I was kind of such a newbie to the whole thing. But he totally obviously took a risk, put me in there, and it was awesome.
So there's very few things I don't remember. I remember a lot. I did not remember that story until you started telling it, and then it all came back. It all came back being at the house, watching Gulf City, remembering that he was like, this is the guy. And then after that, so my dad, I think there's only two times that he's actually said to a network, no, this is who I want. And this is who we're casting. And it was Luke Perry and Andrew Hsu. So now I remember the whole thing. Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
The network was like, okay.
And then the other great moment I had with your dad was after we were getting towards the fifth year and we were going to have to renegotiate a contract. He called me and just said, hey, we got to figure out, year six, why don't you just come into the office? And so I just negotiated the contract with him directly.
What?
Yes. He literally took out a laminated card that had everybody's salary on it.
No.
And talked me through it and was like, well, here's Heather. And what do you think is fair? And I basically, gave him my number, and which wasn't as high as Heather's. And he's like, okay, done.
Yeah. Jen, he liked him better.
Yeah. I never got negotiating meetings. Yeah. That's amazing.
Was your intention always to become an actor? Because you, I remember at the time, everyone always used to talk about like, Andrew Hsu went to Dartmouth. He's so smart, blah, blah, blah. Like when you were at school and a soccer player, and everybody knew all those things. So did you intend to become an actor, or was your sister inspiring you? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, that was another kind of crazy story. I did not intend to be an actor. I was thinking about being a lawyer, and unfortunately, my older brother died in an accident, which was going into my senior year in college. And so after that, I was just kind of on a kind of search for the meaning of life. And I went over and spent a year in Africa teaching and playing soccer over there. And during that year, kind of another random thing happened where I'd gone to the Soap Dish premiere with my sister, and a picture of the two of us came out in the Hollywood Reporter. And the head of casting at Universal Pictures called my sister's agent after seeing the picture. I don't see why she would do this just after seeing a picture, but she said, is Elizabeth Shue's brother an actor? And so the agent then thought that was so kind of crazy that the agent called my sister and said, you're not going to believe this, but this person wanted to know if your brother's an actor, what should I tell her? And then my sister says, yeah, tell her that he is. I was living in Africa at the time, had no interest in being an actor. So then she calls me. And back then, you know, now you could like call on your cell phone. It's unbelievable. Or even FaceTime. Back then, like it was like the phone would ring, like, and it was as if the moon was calling while I was over there. Cause it cost $10 a minute. And it was very exciting. I would only talk for 5 minutes once a month. So my sister calls and she's like, you're never going to believe what happened. I always tell the story that it was her excitement and enthusiasm that made me think it was a big deal. And then when she said, and I told them you are an actor, I'm not sure why, but I just figured I might as well create an option for you. So then I had a whole year. I had a whole year to think about this. So for a year, I'm thinking, all right.
You're in Africa thinking, wait, I could be an actor.
I could be an actor, or I could, you know, be an FBI agent because I just read Silence of the Lambs. So then when I came back and I was thinking, you know what, I should try it. So then I had a meeting with her acting coach, and that was another fateful moment where she said, you seem like you're just as talented as she is. Why not?
Wow.
So yeah, crazy twist. So I did feel like there were all these weird. And of course, then after getting off the show and thinking through whether I wanted to be, you know, do this for the rest of my life, I kind of decided to go into business I mean, as you guys have seen, it's a very topsy-turvy career and you don't really have a lot of control over it. And I wanted to raise my kids back east. So
is that where you are now, back east?
Yeah. Yeah. I live in Manhattan.
Wow. Is there anything you can't do? I feel like everything you touch turns to gold.
The internet says you're a billionaire, but we're just going to throw that out to you. But
yeah, no, that's actually not totally true. No, it's definitely not true the way
he said. Totally, definitely not.
We don't usually look at people's net worth before they come on the show, just so you know. But this just happened.
I was doing my research. And it just comes up. Like, what am I supposed to do? I couldn't
look at it.
You guys, he's looking away. Like, that means he's not telling the truth.
Like net worth.
It's never true.
But they're never they're never true in my number, that whatever, that is way off and not true. So
okay, Jen and I played detectives on TV for one season. And we know that when you look away and you don't look right into camera and into our eyes, you're not completely telling the truth. Mr. Hsu.
Was I going like that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you learn that from our stint on Mystery Girls? Wow.
Right there's the camera.
Okay, good.
No, Cagney and Lacey way back when, but I thought I'd give our show credit. Mystery Girls,
my
one
gosh.
Season. There you go.
So you were on Melrose Place for, I think, 6 seasons. Was that it?
Yeah.
And you left early.
I left a year early.
And why?
In retrospect, probably. You know what? I actually was contemplating, thinking like, all right, this is one of those things where if you stay on a show too long, that it's going to be hard to make a leap to anything else.
So it didn't hurt our careers. I'm just kidding.
And so I tried to have it both ways. I said, well, what if I do half the episodes? And they were like, no, you can't. You kind of got to do it all. And I thought, all right, I'll let it go. So it was only 1 year at the least. And actually the 6th year was unbelievable because I don't know if you guys were doing this on, I think you were, where we were shooting double episodes.
Double. Mm-hmm. Oof.
We had
that
two
was
crews.
Brutal.
We had two crews and we were doing 35 episodes for the year. And And yeah, it was amazing. So there would be times where we would be shooting a scene and then right afterwards shooting another scene that could have been like two episodes ago.
It got confusing.
How did you all keep that straight?
You couldn't keep track.
No.
You just had to go. Difficult.
Yeah, you had to have somebody explain. Okay,
like, who am I? What? Yeah. What have I been through?
Did we kill her already? Did she already hit her head in the pool?
Did she rip off her wig and there was a giant scar?
Okay, so Jenny has not seen.
There's a scar? I don't know.
Oh my gosh. It's.
Jenny has seen three episodes now of Melrose Place. That's it.
She never watched it before.
She was good, yeah. She never watched it before. The good news is she's watching it for the first time and she loves it. Like, she's obsessed with it.
Yep.
Amy and I were huge fans. Like, it, not just because it was my dad's show. Like, I watched Melrose Place. I didn't even watch my own show sometimes, but always watch Melrose Place.
Did you watch 90210, Andrew? Like, did you know that this was a spinoff of that and who these guys were?
What'd you say about looking away from the camera?
He's a big fan of our show. Can you tell?
I would not have been your typical kind of nighttime soap fan. Mm-hmm. I would never watch Melrose Place. I'm going to be totally honest.
You weren't in the sorority with me and 30 friends.
No.
Obsessed watching 90210 and Melrose Place because they started back to back.
I know. I was a sports guy and a documentary guy, and I didn't really even watch TV like at night. At that time.
You still play soccer?
I do still play soccer. And my kids play soccer. And,
do they?
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
What's your position?
I was a midfielder. I am a midfielder. Yeah. I actually had a goal in my game 2 weeks ago.
Nice. You still got it, people.
Wait, do you coach the kids?
I did coach them when they were little. My kids are really old now. I remarried. Amy has two girls and I have three boys, but all three of mine are now, two are out of college. One's in college.
Wow. I guess because you have a blended family.
Yeah. I have a 25-year-old.
But I can't imagine showing up and like my soccer coach for my kid is Andrew Hsu. I'd freak out.
Yes.
Like
crazy, but I guess they wouldn't know.
Were the moms like,
They knew, yeah. He's looking away again.
You
were a lot younger back then, so this was closer to the time when the show had just come off the air. Because when I only coached my kids up until they were probably nine, and then I let some of them were little. So that was down in Princeton, New Jersey, and it was fun. Everybody was sweet. Yeah, those shows were. Everybody just had such a kind of warm feeling about them.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I always had such mad respect for you because I felt like you were doing more. Like you started up your own organization, right? Do something?
Right. Yeah.
I remember that vividly. And I remember thinking, wow, this guy is doing something better than the rest. Like it just, you know, I don't know. I just felt like you were making a difference. Like what was your inspiration and like, how did that start for you?
Well, you're sweet. And I remember you guys coming to a few events to support Do Something, which was great. And it does go back to my brother and kind of searching for more meaning. Mm-hmm. I think I felt like a lot of that had, in a way, given me a different kind of confidence to try things because I wasn't bound by the same rules of like, oh, that'll never happen. And why would you do that? I just say like, I don't know. Why not? You know, just try it. And so then I think once I found myself on a Tonight Show or doing things like this, I thought this is just so weird promoting yourself. And so then it kind of just went back to my childhood where my dad had inspired me to do projects. Both of my brothers were Eagle Scouts. And so they had done big service projects. And I felt guilty when I quit Boy Scouts. And so I had done a project when I was in high school called Student Serving Seniors, because my dad said, you know, just because you didn't do Boy Scouts doesn't mean you don't have to, you would get a lot out of doing a service project. So I created this group with a bunch of my friends called Student Serving Seniors. And that experience to me was transformative because it just showed me how valuable it is to connect with others, to do something that's beyond yourself. And so then when I got on the show, I thought, wow, what an opportunity to do something like that. So yeah, Do Something's still running full steam right now, 25 That's awesome. Years later.
Oh my
and feel very fortunate.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. But so again, it was about having other mentors and other teachers nudging me and pushing me and saying, hey, you know what? Life is, I mean, people have talked about this, life is meaningful when shared. Life is rich when you're sharing with others and giving back to others. It's kind of an empty world when you're just looking to take for yourself.
That's very true.
Oh my gosh.
And wow. you also That's started nice. Up, like you co, did you, is this with your wife that you started another organization?
So right now that we just wrote up a children's book.
The children's book.
We wrote a children's book that actually we weren't thinking about it when we first talked about it, but it's called Better Together. It's about a blended family of squirrels and chipmunks who find themselves after a storm kind of stuck together in this hollow of a log. And then they realize that they do everything differently. So they have so much fun and then they're like, yeah, but you do things differently. So let's go back. And then as soon as they go apart, they miss each other so much that they all come back together and they end up creating a family called the McSquirrelies. And so we wrote this book and when it was coming together, just realized what was going on in the country and just thought, wow, this really is a time where we all just have to take a deep breath and think about how much we would gain by trying to understand each other and trying to share more together. And I really do think that we're at a place now where we're in such an insecure place as a country that the people, it's really in a weakness. We all kind of go to our corners and go to our tribes and get combative. So I think it's time. If we're going to see our strength is to go towards each other. Our strength is to listen with curiosity and try and understand each other.
So true. I mean, that book sounds so timely, first of all. But also, you waited till your kids were grown up to write a children's book. I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Well, we joked that we wanted to make sure that story ended well before we wrote the book.
Oh, my God. Right,
it wasn't all unicorns and rainbows for you guys at first, right?
No, it was actually really difficult.
Blended families are no joke. It's hard.
It just is, because there's all these layers of fear and mistrust, really, because you're like, do you really love me? And do you really, when your blood, for some reason, even though you might not really get along, you'll still go to the end of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so when you choose a family like this, it's just so much harder. And we had very different parenting styles, which also made it very difficult.
How did you know you had different parenting styles?
Yeah.
Well, I just, my parents got divorced early. We were really on our own most of the time. We were kind of in the, we figured out for themselves type upbringing. Mm-hmm. And Amy had a very strict Catholic upbringing. And she felt like my boys needed some serious discipline and structure. And I kind of agreed with her. I definitely agreed with her, but at the same time, I couldn't go all the way that she wanted to go. I was like, that's just gonna be too hard. And then they're gonna think they're gonna resent you. And so we were just constantly in this push pull. It's like, yeah, but you're giving them, we all of our arguments became about the kids.
About the true. I mean, yeah. I have married to a man who doesn't have children, but he's a stepdad to my three girls. And a lot of our arguments are about different my parenting techniques and his thoughts on them or how he thinks I should do it.
Yeah. And you know what I would just say, and I'll say this to everybody out there, it you have to just constantly be in communication with each other. This is the hardest thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We love each other and we trust each other's intentions. Mm-hmm. And now let's talk through the logistics of what we're actually trying to accomplish and not assume right away that you're trying to do this because you want power, or you're trying to do this because you want me to feel diminished. Like, that isn't what it's about. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you get very territorial about it, and you're like, and it's just so hard. Most, I think it's like 75% of all second marriages with kids don't succeed.
But it's also, there's also that part that's like, I find relief in having somebody see it from a different perspective and give me their two cents about like what it looks like from over there, because I'm so in it so often with my kids that I don't see.
Yeah. That's big of you. That's big of you.
Really making me think of Billy and Allison, because.
Oh, no.
Are you going to say that, Tori?
I don't want my stepson listens to this. And I don't want him to be like, why didn't you mention me? So he listens to our podcast every week.
In this episode, Billy writes this.
Jack, hey, I love you.
Novel.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't worry.
Writes this crappy novel, and Allison tells him the truth that it sucks. So it's like, it's bringing all around. If you were in that position and Amy wrote something, would you tell her it sucks, or would you go, oh, maybe
it's I probably wouldn't tell her that it sucked.
See? I would
say, Allison said, I hate it.
Yeah.
See, that was not nice.
Did you watch this episode? You didn't watch episode 3 just to come talk to us, right? You have no idea what we're talking about.
He lived it.
Remember?
He didn't have to.
I have a vague memory
of
episode 3.
Yeah.
I can mention one of your best lines. Oh, you have no taste, just like your lousy casserole.
Oh, I kind of vaguely do remember that one. Another.
You weren't a fan of her casserole.
Not a great line. I remember the number of times I've tried and change the lines, and they'd be like, Andrew, we're going to have to call. I'm like, all right, let's call.
What do they call?
Really? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
They would literally call Darren or yeah.
I was wondering, was Billy Campbell, it felt like there were like little slivers of Darren Star in the character of Billy Campbell.
Well, definitely in the pilot, he wrote the pilot for sure. But then he wasn't as involved going forward after that.
Like even in this episode, like the third episode, which Darren did co-write, Billy talks about his like upbringing and wanting to be a writer and his dad not supporting him. And
yeah, I'm sure the dad not supporting him and all that stuff. I'll bet that. Yeah. And I've never had a conversation with him about the kind of the origin of Billy, but it did assume that it was linked to Darren, like that character, if there was a character that was linked to Darren personally, that it would have been Billy.
Is it okay to ask about your off-screen relationship with Courtney Thorne Smith?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was public. Like, I'm just always fascinated. Oh, you mean
the
off-screen,
the relationship now or back then?
Back then.
Oh. We live in the past.
Yes, we do. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great relationship. I would say that I had never been on a TV show before, and I'd never been in a, you know, working in a kind of a, it's intimate in the sense that you're every day you're hanging out, and of course the two characters were having a flirtation during that whole first couple seasons, really. But, so yeah, the sparks flew pretty quickly, and then we started dating, and it was great. It was one of the great relationships of my life.
You can tell immediately from the first episode that you guys have great chemistry.
Yeah, she's an awesome person, funny and smart and professional. That was one thing. All the people on the show were so professional and so great.
Could you ever predict Matt would marry Sydney? Sorry, Tori, that Matt married Sydney for like, they've been married like 100 years, Laura Leighton. And that's like so crazy.
But she dated Grand Show first.
I know. And everybody's good friends. Like we all got together recently for a reunion. Aww. And everybody was just so genuinely happy to see each other. And everybody's been so supportive just to each other's causes. I recently working on a big project trying to figure out how to heal the wounds in our country, and I got Heather involved. She called me back right away and was awesome. She's great and doing great. And so yeah, I feel just a great warmth about all the relationships with everybody, and so fortunate to have, like I said, just landed into this show and never done anything before and have such great people.
I love it. Well, we were interviewed by your wife a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. She's a force. Mm-hmm. And I just talked to her 20 minutes ago, and she's at down in Texas, I guess. Michael Strahan's going up with Jeff Bezos's.
Oh, that's right.
So there, I guess he's blasting off tomorrow. So Amy's down there.
Crazy. So Amy's covering it.
She's covering it. And yeah, Amy's gotten me running marathons, hiking mountains. We live a very full life. We burn it on all ends, and we don't assume we have more time. We have what we have right now. And so we try and just do the things that do the things and be with the people that bring us the most joy. We feel very lucky, obviously, to have, just have freedom to do these kinds of things. I think right now, obviously, with the pandemic and everything, people are still, I mean, the world is, who knows how things are going to go here in the next few months, but we may be back into kind of a defensive posture. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're getting to a place where we can just live with this thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Amy's awesome. I met her at a book party, and
ooh, what book?
It's been a whirlwind, whirlwind for 13 years.
13.
Wait, what book? I want to know.
It was a book party that was about moms, and I had started a company called Cafe Mom, and so they wanted me to come to help promote their book.
When you wrote your children's book with Amy, could you type or did you do this like Billy?
Oh my God.
That's so funny you say that. The reason Billy typed like that is because Andrew typed like that.
Really?
And Andrew still types like that.
So sugar man, as you call her. Yeah. She claims you went, she says you went to Dartmouth. So you couldn't possibly type like that. So she thought that they asked you to do it that way.
Ah, I like that. No, that's
how in the world secret. Did you not know how to type?
You know what? See, I did take a typing class in high school.
That's what we said.
Really didn't take it seriously enough.
Oh, thank goodness. He really didn't hear anything before this interview.
How
perfect.
Did you get through Dartmouth with this?
The funny thing is my business partner who I went to Columbia High School with, he said the one, and he's brilliant, and he literally is brilliant. He was a chess prodigy. And he said the one thing he learned in high school was how to type. And he,
we all did.
So he's done all the typing for me, I guess, all these years.
He didn't have to.
Yeah. Wait, before you go, I'm Tori and Jenny, I'm sure we'll wrap it up. But when you showed up at Melrose Place and you went into the wardrobe department and they told you they were out of shirts because no one wears a shirt. Don't wear a shirt. Grant Cho doesn't wear a shirt. Like, there are so few shirts.
I don't know if that was Darren, but maybe it was written there in the script.
It must have been Darren then. I think it must have been a Darren thing.
We weren't supposed to be wearing shirts. I also didn't wear a belt, surprisingly. And that became part of Billy's wardrobe.
No. Maybe
that might have been me too, where I didn't really want to put on the belt because we were constantly changing our clothes all the time. I'm like, you know what? Billy doesn't wear a belt.
It just took too long. You didn't have the time to buckle the belt.
I'd have to change the belt to match the shoes and just thought.
You did wear the legit Converse sneaks and the green bomber. So
yeah, did you have any say in your wardrobe? Was that your style?
The first few, I did start to change it after a little bit. I was like, I don't love this. But in the beginning, they had me in some stuff I would never have normally worn. But I felt like I had to do whatever they said. I was just so happy to be there. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely what I would call some,
Wait, did you not wear Converse in real life?
Yeah, not a typical athlete attire.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. No, I definitely wove in the soccer stuff, and I started getting all that kind of in there to make Billy a little bit more of a
dude. Yeah,
I think your book is the perfect holiday gift. I asked, surprisingly,
right.
I saw you guys on Good Morning America, so that's how shocking. What were you?
How'd you get on
so
that?
That's how I knew about the book.
I know. We snuck on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better Together. It's out there in the
people.
The book.
People can get it on Amazon. It's that easy. You
get it on Amazon.
Better exactly. Together.
Are you going to get it, Sugarman?
Obviously.
Oh my gosh. We all need to get it. Well, since everything.
How long have you been doing the show?
Years.
This is our third season coming up. It's really? Like 1 year, but it feels like years. Yeah.
It's so funny you say that, though, because we've done it for two seasons, but it's been like 600 episodes because there's so many episodes of 90210. It's not like these days, 10 episodes is a season. For Tori and Jenny, it's like
you actually
35 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you watch it and talk about it as it's happening?
Yeah, we watched your episode. Well,
we wanted to
for a minute, we finished season two of 90210, and we wanted to spin over to watch Kelly and Donna and David and Steve go to Melrose Place. So we did the first three episodes of Melrose Place, and now we've all fallen in love with Melrose Place, and we're really torn. Do we go back to Beverly Hills 90210, or do we stick with Melrose Place?
Oh,
do we get another
gosh.
Podcast? We don't know what to do.
We really are loving Melrose Place. Like, I was always a fan, but like, I'm like, wait, I want to go back to 90210, but it's just different because we feel like it's good to have that outside perspective. Mm-hmm. Like Melrose Place, we could do that. 90210, we're so involved in it. Sometimes it's hard to like really critique it. Well, we do, but you know. Okay, before we go, I have to admit something to you.
Uh-oh. I don't know where this is going, Andrew.
I don't know when I'll ever see you again. And we're going back to the good old days.
Sure we will.
So I told the ladies here that when we started Melrose, when my dad started Melrose Place.
When our family started.
Our family, yes. He really wanted me to marry an actor, which not a good idea. Like,
what?
I don't know why he was always trying to set me up with actors.
Aaron.
But he was like, he was a big fan of yours. And he was like, oh, babe. He's like, you got to meet this Andrew Hsu. So I did a better impression earlier.
No, that
and
was
I'm
still
nervous
good.
In front
she's,
of you.
She's okay, getting fine. It, yeah.
So I remember at the premiere party, and Jen was there too. He wanted me to meet you, and I think he introduced us. And I was just like so nervous. I was like, hi. and you were like, hey, and you were really cool and then walked away. And that was it. That was the extent of our romance.
Do you remember that, Andrew?
I have a vague memory of kind of a meeting going, oh, wow. Like, is this, you know.
Okay, at this point, just turn around and look up because you're not even looking close to us.
I just remember you were, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't you fairly young at that mm-hmm. point? How old were you?
You didn't want to get involved. You were like, I'm not
touching that. Is this 92? That's no, but also, daughter. Like,
this
now.
This is 92, yeah.
Yeah. So it was 19?
Oh, all right. So you were 19.
18, 19. So
I was 25.
As an adult now, oh my gosh, that was the wrong move. He always wanted me to meet his actors. Why would any of his actors ever date me? Can you imagine?
I would.
You land a huge job and then you're going to date the boss's daughter? Bad news. Mm-mm.
I do recall meeting you and thinking you were very sweet and also thinking, yeah, that would not be a good idea.
Yeah.
See, it just confirms all that's how you felt like it always went. And there you go.
Yes. But you were incredibly sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got this. Is great. This is cool and fun that you're doing this.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for being here.
We have so much fun and we've had so much fun watching your show and watching how it all began. And you were a superstar from the moment you stepped onto screen.
Wow. I was lucky to be on that screen. I don't know how it happened, but
you and me both
meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. Meant to be. You guys are awesome. And I know that we will see each other again.
Yes.
I hope so. I hope so. And call give Amy our love.
Yes. Call us when you need us. We'll be there.
All right. We will.
Good luck
we
with
will.
The book. All right.
Thank
see you later, Sugarman.
Bye.
Have a
Bye,
great
Andrew.
Day.
See ya.
Bye.
We didn't do Kiss, Marry, or Kick.
Guys, he lives up to every single
he's cute.
Dream he would have.
He's a very good guy.
He can't be that perfect.
I was smiling the entire time.
My jaw hurts from smiling internally. I didn't want to be too outwardly. Like, what a great human.
He just seems like a really good guy, right? Like a nice husband.
Oh, I forgot we're still filming.
Oh, a nice, you know, nice. He's a good dad.
Always been like that. That guy is awesome.
Oh my God. Oh. He's what we all aspire to be. But see, that goes to like he's living proof that if you want to do something, you just jump in and do it.
Yeah,
like
do I know something. We all that's where
right? like
yeah,
we spend
do
so
it.
Much time saying why it couldn't work, why no one would want it, why, you know? And it's like, wait, the time we take to tell us ourselves the excuses, we could just be like trying.
He's so grateful and appreciative. Tori, what is that like? God. The admiration people have for your dad. It's like, I know I've asked you about that before, but it's like, what is that like for you? Because these people, he changed their lives. He gave them their lives, basically.
It makes me feel really good. The ones that are grateful and are like, you know, like isn't always the way. And it's so nice, like to hear genuinely his fond memories because he and I have never talked about it. You know, I've heard from like Luke and Jason and I and like Ryan, like, you know, I've heard that from the boys, but to hear from Andrew, like that made me really happy.
Oh my God.
When he believed in someone, he went all the way with it. My dad was like that. There was no stopping him if he believed in you. And he was often really, obviously, right. He was right about people.
Yes, it gives me chills. He just nailed it time after time. Wow.
Wow.
Can we take a break? I need water.
Whew. Yeah, we're all flushed.
I sort of have tears, but I'm trying to like, I don't know why.
Okay, let's take a break. You girls can compose yourselves and we'll come back with
more.
Hey,
you were smiling pretty big too.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds.
make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, so we've been talking, you guys. Amy, why don't you tell our listeners
okay,
the plan?
So yes. We ran out of time because we got so
enamored and we could listen to Andrew Hsu all day. Like, I'm sad he's gone. Like,
going to do an extra episode to talk more about Melrose Place.
Because, we didn't really get into the nitty gritty of the whole episode. And
we can't just know.
We have a lot to say. It's Kelly's last episode.
Yeah, this is the last crossover episode. And we want to talk about it.
Yeah, we're excited.
But it would be great if you guys have any questions or anything you want to talk about the third episode of Melrose Place or Andrew Hsu or men not wearing shirts, whatever you want to talk about. Just send us your questions.
You guys, he said I was sweet.
Oh, he said it was crushy too. The whole thing. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I got to admit that was cathartic for me to talk to him and I wasn't going to. And Jen, are you shocked I brought it up?
No.
Oh my God. I was dying inside and it took everything in my power to bring it up because I was super nervous and I just wanted to say it. And it's cathartic because I've always thought like, oh, was something wrong with me?
Didn't he like me? But I mean, you probably met a lot of men and guys. Did you think that every time one of them didn't like, you know?
Yeah, in hindsight, like my dad shouldn't have set me up with his actors because I didn't get it back then. I was a young girl. So I just thought, oh, am I not pretty enough? I'm not smart enough. Like, why don't they like me? Like he did it with the guy from Models, Inc., the lead there. He set me up with him. Like he just kept doing it. And of course, they're not going to go out with me.
What was that babe's name?
Oh, my God. Who was that guy? He was.
Did he took die
me
out, later?
He took me. So I was at. We have to talk about this another day. It's like a whole story.
Okay. We'll start.
We'll
with
recap it. It's like a Jamie Walter story, too. So he's involved.
It wasn't that John Eric Hexham, was it?
No. Okay. Making of a male model that shot himself by mistake on set. No.
Is he on Models, Inc.?
No, making of a male model, a TV movie my dad did in the 80s.
Oh, so I sort of was right, but yet totally wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it, people. We will come back next week with another episode where we actually really do talk about episode 3 of Melrose Place. And we will try to get it all out there.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Target Circle, the program you know and love, now includes automatic deals.
The all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360, is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.